down there.
Also a big-ass mutie. Sounds like the same problem to me. We need weapons to go into the tunnel to see if there are any weapons there to be found.
Muties aren't sec men.
Ryan started to clean the Sig Sauer. The one loaded clip he placed aside, reverently.
Okay, we've been through this place from top to bottom. What can we use to make some weapons?
Any brooms or mops in the closets?
Sure, lots. Army always like things clean.
Good. We could use those as the handles. What can we burn?
I found some congealed oil in the grease traps of the garage.
JB polished his glasses with a cloth napkin. He placed them on his face and blinked his eyes into focus.
The goo is useless for a wag, but we can soak rags in it and make torches. Remember, that mutie at the door didn't like the light.
Or getting shot.
Any chemicals we can cook into bombs?
Nothing explosive. Some minor poisons, and I can make a ton of smoke bombs, but nothing deadly.
Was there any propane or oxygen remaining in the welding tanks I saw in the garage?
Only a few pounds of pressure, about 10 seconds worth.
Not enough for a flamethrower. Ah, well.
We have plenty of bottles.
Ryan gestured at the case.
Just have to find something to put in them. Can we use the grease to make Molotov cocktails?
The armorer shook his head, then stopped and nodded.
Yeah, we can. I found some aftershave cologne in the barracks. That's mostly alcohol. I could cut the grease and make maybe a dozen cocktails.
Thicken them a bit with laundry soap. That'll make it good and sticky.
Mildred turned off the heat under the simmering pot.
How about crossbows? Those are easy to make.
Christy started to draw on the tablecloth with a pencil.
We can form the bow from steel bed springs. This base has plenty of electricity. We can use the power tools to machine the shafts and carve the stocks from table legs.
Fletching from feather pillows, but still need arrowheads.
Rising from the table, Doc crossed the cafeteria and opened a drawer.
Plenty of knives here, although they are rather large. Could we perhaps cut them down to a more serviceable size?
Absolutely. There's a grinding wheel in the garage that'll do a fine job. This may just work.
Hey, remember the last time we were here and Doc almost got chilled? Where did we put the battle axe and bayonets from the booby trap?
In the art room. I already checked. They're long gone.
Shit.
The boy's face slumped. Then he beamed a smile and dashed away at a full run.
The art room? Yeah, I'll be right back!
Crossbows and bedsheet torches. Maybe we should risk a jump.
Where?
Anywhere. Go to another redoubt. Hopefully one Silas hasn't looted. Grab some food or blasters, anything useful I find, and jump back here using the LD button.
Hooking a boot under the table, JB leaned dangerously backward in his chair.
Last destination button only works for 30 minutes. That's 15 in and the same out. Not much time.
Jack brushed back his snowy hair.
Traps. Set kind of droids. Muties.
Ryan shrugged noncommittally. They could encounter any or all of those. It was a standard danger with any jump, aside from not arriving at all. But they could also find a well-stocked armory with crates of MRE packs, law rockets, Grens, even Stingers, and IR anti-helicopter rockets. They had hit the jackpot before, and he was sure they would do so again someday.
Still got a few in the Sig Sauer. That'll handle any problems.
Ryan confidently patted the weapon.
Maybe. But the mutie outside took everything we had and came back for more. What's a 9mm blaster going to do to another one of those?
Thoughtfully, Ryan worked his jaw.
Yeah, I know. But what choice have we got?
Food first.
Mildred was sampling the soup. It almost tasted like pork, which was a bad sign for a beef product, but she didn't think it would cause them any real harm.
Found it!
Dean burst back into the kitchen. The boy was dragging an enormous plastic bag with faded pictures and writing on the outside.
What that?
Jack rose to help the boy haul it to the dining table.
Silas mentioned hiding a cat in the art room as a trap for us. I figured it would have to eat, so I looked for food. Didn't see the cat, but found this bag in the closet.
Christy squeezed the boy's shoulder.
Smart move. None of us caught that remark. You did good.
Thanks.
Perina cat chow.
JB turned the bag over.
Contents. Rice, lamb, beef, wheat, veg oil, bunch of chems. This sounds okay.
Oh, better than okay. This solves our food problems for a while. More if we find any additional boots. Belts are good, too. Less sweat to leach out.
Madam, please.
Sorry, but it's the truth.
Ryan gingerly took a nugget of the cat food and tried cracking it with his teeth.
Fire blast. Stuff as hard as rock. And tastes strange.
Bad?
She took some pellets from the bag and sniffed them carefully. It smelled like ordinary cat food.
How could she tell if it was going bad? The stuff always smelled awful.
No, not bad, just strange. Hurt my teeth to chew. But I guess it's okay.
Then it's dinner time.
Mildred took a chair at the table. Since the physician had cooked, the rest served. Ryan passed out bowls and spoons, while Christy filled clean glasses with tepid water. Dean piled handfuls of the hard cat food on saucers, and Doc ladled out the thin gray soup, trying not to breathe the fumes. Jack and JB kept watch with weapons in hand. They had been caught off guard once during a meal, but never again. Then the companions took their places and started to eat, none of them with very much enthusiasm. Ryan ate steadily, ignoring the flavor and textures. Food was life. The one-eyed man would eat anything that didn't eat him first. Christy dipped one of the rock-hard pellets into the soup and then nibbled that. If anything, it tasted worse.
Sorry I lost my bearskin coat. It was old and dusty, but it would have tasted better than this dreck.
Amen to that.
Doc listlessly took another spoonful of the soup and forced it down.
Aw, shut up, you old coot, and eat your boot.
Night descended upon Shiloh Valley, or at least the clock said it should be night. But there was no lessening or change in the terrible shroud of ash swirling around the ville like a black hurricane. A dozen sec men stood before the gap in the wall, waiting for more muties to arrive. 50 more men shuffled along between the brick buildings, patrolling for any other invaders. 3 huddled in the kiosk in front of the main gate, the steel railing locked firmly in position. The slaves slept on the floor of the hut since work was impossible. Nothing moved but the windblown ash. There were no sounds but the howling wind. Then a single raindrop fell from the tortured sky and hit the ground with a sizzling hiss, like water hitting a hot stove. The ground sank out of sight where the droplet landed. A neat hole punched through the layer of dry ash. A swaddled sec man walked closer to the spot and jerked back when he caught the delicate aroma of sulfur.
Acid rain! The rain has come early!
But nobody could hear the warning. Struggling against the wind, the sec man reached the alarm bell and started wildly banging with all of his strength.
Acid rain! Rain!
A few caught the muffled words and bolted for the nearest building as more drops descended from the mottled sky. Soon the sizzling noise rose to a deafening level, the ash compacting flat under the polluted deluge. The guards at the wall cut themselves loose and headed for the bunker at the base of the dish. A private dropped his knife and had to untie the rope holding him secure. Stumbling after the others, he cried out as the rain hit his clothing and seared right through. Nuking hell, it was like touching a red-hot stove. Going under the dish, he was out of the rain, but he kept running. The wind could shift and he'd be dead in minutes. Somewhere far away, the alarm continued to ring as he crossed the encampment and finally made it to the bunker. Grabbing the handle, he tried to twist the latch, but it remained firmly in place. Locked? The sec man yelled, pounding on the iron plates with a fist.
Open the door! Open the fucking door!
There was no response. Then a drop of rain hit him on the neck, and he jumped from the pain, swatting at the point as if it were a bee sting. His fingers burned from the contact.
Bastards!
He fired the Kalashnikov at the bunker. The rounds ricocheted off the armored door with no effect. Dropping the blaster, he headed around the dish to try for the slave quarters. It was closer than the kiosk or the armory. Any building would do, but by now the rain was coming down in sheets, flattening the ash into something that resembled dirty concrete. A sudden gust swept acid over the sec man, and he shrieked as the cloth strips rotted away to expose his uniform then the bare skin underneath. Frantically, he looked around for a canvas sheet, a tarpaulin, or anything he might use for protection. But whatever might have been available was now sealed under the hard covering of the solidified ash. The rain